James the Charm here at Popcorn Talk Network, and today on Horror Movie News, we're doing a Quiet Place review, so we gotta keep it down, okay? Also, Guillermo del Toro seals the deals at Fox Searchlight, and so much more on...
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
We're going. It's happening. It's starting. Welcome to Horror Movie News, episode 25. I'm hope you guys enjoyed that little BTS. For those who have, it will be edited soon. But that's how live production goes, which is why I love it. It's unlike anything else.
Yes.
Where mistakes happen, and that's okay.
I got us killed 3 times.
Yeah.
Ollie just we died so many times, but we're back. We hit that rewind.
We had a checkpoint.
Reload that save point.
Yeah.
Right on. Anyways, welcome to Horror Movie News, episode 25. Here with my lovely host, Carrie.
What's up? My name's Carrie Lane.
And Ollie.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Jenin.
And I am Anthony Becerra. And let's get into it with some quick keeping. Alright, so where to find us? YouTube.com/popcorntalknetwork on our YouTube channel. Also, I added the YouTube playlist into our description, so you can just find all of our previous episodes on every episode, pretty much. Nice. From this episode moving forward. On top of that, you can also follow us on Twitter at HorrorNewsPTN, Twitter only, and as well as our PopcornTalkNetwork.com website, the actual website. You can find us there as well, and all previous episodes. And lastly but not least, we have Apple Podcasts on iTunes. Type in Horror Movie News, look up for our insignia right back here, and please, please leave us a 5-star rating, and also tell us all your feedback if you love the show, if what you'd like for us to cover, or anything else, really. And also on YouTube, go ahead and leave some comments, because I love reading them, and I try to reply to all of them as best as I can. We had one of our winner reply last time saying thanking us for giving them the poster and all that, so I thought it was really sweet, it was really cool to have that fan interaction and whatnot. Yeah. I'm personally horrible at all that social media, but I'm trying to improve since I got this show at a snail's pace, but
it's all right.
I'm getting there. Yeah. It's all right. All right, so let's get into our first segment, because I really want to get into talking about The Quiet Place.
Yes, we
do have some news that leads into The Quiet Place, so we'll do that. But first, our first segment, The Abyss. So quick explanation on The Abyss is what films we've been watching. So this past week, what's up? You want me to go first?
Go for it.
I am tribute. All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
So we all saw A Quiet Place, so that's doesn't need to be said. But I did see another film apart from that, and I had a funny experience when I went to go watch this. So I saw You Were Never Really Here, just released. It was by, directed and written by Lynn Ramsey, who also directed and wrote We Need to Talk About Kevin back in 2011. And I was very surprised because I forgot about that when I went to go watch it, but I knew there was a reason. I was like, oh, there you go. Boom, boom, boom. So it's a quick synopsis, which I did not know about this in the film when I went in, but I kind of got it over as the film progressed. But apparently he's a traumatized veteran as well, which I was like, oh, okay, cool. So he's a traumatized veteran, unafraid of violence, tracks down missing girls for a living. When a job spins out of control, Joe's nightmare overtakes him as a conspiracy is uncovered, leading to what may be his death trip or his awakening. Ooh. Like a spiritual, in a sense.
Yeah.
So just my quick thoughts on the film. It was very interesting character psychology. I liked how, in a sense, it reminded me a bit like Legion, as in like how you see certain scenes that are just fragmented, like split seconds, like boom, boom, boom. Things coming at you like rapid succession, just like shots of like his previous self as a kid, and like seeing experiences like that came out randomly throughout the film. So it was cool, because like that's how it was showing how his brain worked, and also like where his psychology comes from. And I felt like that, like I got it, like the visual, like storytelling from that point was really nice. Like, I really enjoyed that. Like, it was just like, oh, dang. Like, this is how, like, this is probably how it goes on in his head. Like, his mind just flashes him back to, like, these terrible experiences that he had in his life. And I was just like, whoa, that's brilliant. The visual narrative, because of that, though, can be a little difficult to follow. Because you're like, wait, what? Where are we now, kind of thing. Like, if you're trying to do it like that, you guys just, like, let it happen to you. And then, like, slowly try to, like, you know, think about it. And you're like, oh, okay. Because it's very abstract, like how it's like sewn together and everything. It was also very reminiscent of Taxi Driver for me because of the tone. But this one, the tone is a bit more like solemn, more grim-like than Taxi Driver's is. But it kind of deals with the same, like, there's these two characters that don't really know what they're doing with their lives and stuff. And although Taxi Driver, he was, like, mainly all, like, afraid. He was alone for the most part. This one, he has his mother, and You Were Never Really Here, he has his mother to look after. His like, main character's name is Joe. So he has, like, that sort of, like, humanistic side to him. Although he's, like, this cold-blooded, like, murderer, like, this was really good at killing. But he kills for the good reason. But either way. There is also a beautiful underwater shot that reminds me of the same shot, like that same like go-to shot for The Shape of Water when they're underwater and they're like hugging, kind of. Mm. There's a very similar shot to that, but I liked it more in this film because it just, it like broke my brain for a bit because all I could think of was just like, this is beautiful, oh my God, this is beautiful. And I started like tearing up just because of how beautiful it was and like how it just hit me. Like okay. It was just like a wave of emotion. I was just like, what am I thinking about right now? And the only thing I could think about, this is beautiful. I was like, damn. And it just overcame me. Like how, like, I just like shut down from it. But it was quite the beautiful shot. But yeah, that's what I watched. Apart from that, I saw Green Room again last night with Steve and Steven, which is hilarious to say because it's Steve and Steven. Yeah, Green Room with Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots. Oh, Patrick Stewart as a very sophisticated but also not a skinhead. Oh, it's fantastic. It's
really
yeah.
I didn't know that movie existed a couple months ago until you told me.
Until I recommended
it. Oh, my gosh.
It was one of my crypt recommendations ago, but I wanted to share it with these guys. We've been watching movies a lot recently. I was just like, hey, let's watch Green Room. It's one of my favorites. They liked it. Steve, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. Definitely a fan of Patrick Stewart and punk music and just the way that the general premise was fairly clear within, I'd say, the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
First 20 minutes of the movie, you kind of had some auspicions and guesses as to what was going to happen, having this band trapped in a room, and not to spoil anything about it, but just essentially how it pans out, who was going to die, how soon was that going to be, and wow, I was totally taken by surprise.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. You should definitely check it out, Carrie. Cool. One I really enjoy. But yeah, that was about it, really. What'd you guys see?
Not horror related, but I saw Blockers.
Ayo.
But maybe it's horror because it was hard to watch. No, just
Zing!
You were asking. I would say parts were very funny. There were some amazing moments of addressing like realistic truthfulness that I was like, yes! And then there are parts that were just painful that I'm like, is the scene over yet? just really... The gag went too far or just wasn't that funny. But yeah, it's
overall,
not bad.
Overall's okay.
The humor and the truthfulness made up for the bad parts.
Okay.
So, cool. That's the only other one. And then still watching Full Metal Alchemist, so tune in. These episodes weren't that intense.
I agree.
Sort of, but not as intense. Yeah.
The first... We'll talk about it. This is not the right time, but yeah.
I didn't watch a whole bunch. And then Quiet Place, and then I'll talk about it for my Crypt one next.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
We'll talk about that.
A lucky number from Netflix. All right, anything else for you? Anything for you, Oliver?
A Quiet Place. That's all I really want to talk about today. But I did see Tomb Raider finally.
Yay!
And I was pleasantly surprised with it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Very easy to get into. Alicia, I think she's like someone to look out for sure. Yeah. I was never like really like into her. I'm like, But then seeing this movie, like, I was like, okay, you know, I'm waiting to see what the future has in store for her, and I'm sure this film is really going to kick off her career. But that's about it. It makes me want to play the video game for sure.
Nice.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
She was in there.
She's very naked in that, too.
Yeah.
Very naked.
She is. Man from Uncle,
but
she's awesome
but
in
like,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I totally didn't know that was her. So I feel like this is like really showing who she is, like, if that makes sense.
Man from Uncle, it's similar-ish character, but more spunky.
Guy Ritchie film, right?
Yeah, it's really fun, but that's also really funny because like the three main characters are all from different countries playing a different country, essentially. It's American playing British, a British playing American, and then she's Swedish playing Russian.
Mm.
So it's just kind of funny. But anyway.
So not horror, but a good movie.
Yeah, Man from Uncle's
cool. Cool, right on. So okay, should we move on?
Yeah, because I'm going to lead into this. So.
I feel like Carrie's got to take over the crypt.
So excited.
But real quick, just a brief description. This is your first time watching the show. The Crypt is a film that we'd like to share with everyone, including you, the viewers, mm-hmm. and here, people on the panel. But apparently, we're implementing something that you should we're calling it a tomb that you should not go into, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're trying to warn you all in a way, because some of them, like, you know, we're watching our movies and I'm like, there needs to be a category for ones that we're like,
it's more like a warning, like you might not like this.
All right, so I saw Dead Body, and this was on Shudder. I appreciate that Shudder has everything, but this one was just like, I felt it had potential, but it was just painful to kind of get through some of it. It came out this last year. So it's like 9 high school, which they do not look high school at all. I'm like, I don't buy this whatsoever. But that aside, like right after graduation, they're going to go hang out in a cabin in the woods, and they start playing, right? Like, again, I don't mind the like same plot line thing. It's like, but where do you go with it?
Right.
So they're playing a game called Dead Body, which is like mafia. Like somebody is, you're given a piece of paper and you're the murderer and like hide and go seek essentially. But then people start really dying. I after seeing the end, I guess you can kind of pick out who the killer is, but I didn't see it going that way, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And the motives were like, okay, because it was a little bit absurd, but I kind of went with that. You know, it wasn't just like, I'm just killing you because I hate you all or something stupid. It's kind of a obscure reason, but then that's why it's fun. The filming is really good. I liked how it was filmed. Some of the gore is great. So, like, those were things working in its favor. The acting was fine. I don't think there's anybody I really hated or loved. The only other thing, too, that really kind of, like, I didn't like in this movie is they had two Japanese, like, characters as, like, the foreign exchange students. And I felt the movie was so racist towards them because they never have really much dialogue. They, spoilers, they die right away. Oh, and then there's this gag that they're just having sex constantly. They're like, well, that's what Japanese people do. And you're like,
ah. Interesting.
No, it's not funny. You're just like, I don't know where you're going with this.
Is there any saving grace with this film?
Nudity? No nudity.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
It's one of those, on IMDb has a 4.9 out of 10. I give it more like a 5. Like, it's a 5, but it's pretty much there. I'm curious if any of you have seen it. Please comment down below. Dead Body. The killer reveal was probably the best saving grace of what that was. I'm all right. But like the beginning, I'm like,
I want to hear. If you did like this.
Yeah,
I'm
I want to know.
I want to know why.
I read comments. Some people are like, oh, it's not that bad. And I'm like,
I want to see what they like about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, exactly. I think the story or something.
And I don't know. Maybe you guys would watch it and be like, it's great.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm going to go there.
And I have seen Thanksgiving, so like, yes. I'm no stranger.
See, that's a different kind of bad.
I'm no stranger to things. All right.
But anyway, so that's our maybe don't go in that tomb.
Don't go in that tomb, everybody. Or go in there, but we warned you.
Yeah, exactly.
We warned you. Yeah. Ollie, you got anything for us?
Well, I actually really like this new spin that we're doing on the crypt. Or is it the tomb? I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't go into the crypt.
And then you don't go in the tomb.
Okay.
Or warning.
Because it's a tomb inside the crypt? Sure.
Okay.
They're both...
The same-ish?
Semantics.
Yeah.
Tomato.
Off the top of my head, real quick, I would say, like, Would You Rather on Netflix. Have you seen this movie?
I've been wanting to watch that for a long time.
Premise. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, but I'm like, ooh, tell me more.
Quick premise is this girl, her brother's sick, so she gets an invite along with a whole bunch of other random people to this mansion, and they don't know what's in store for them, but apparently, like, there's this prize that they're going to get or some kind of money...
Money prize.
And so come to find out that they have to play a game, Would You Rather? And it's like, would you rather slit your eyeball with this razor? Or would you
and
rather...
that's the cover of the Netflix, yeah, yeah. I believe.
Or would
the
you
thumbnail.
Rather slit your wrist and you have to choose one of them? Or And basically...
My wrist.
Can I have both, please?
Basically, last man standing mm-hmm. kind of game. And I thought it was horrible. I didn't really like it at all. It stars Brittany Snow. It's like a cool concept, but it also feels a little bit too much like Saw, a little bit too torture porny. I don't know if you're into that, but I always say, like, if you want to do like a torture porn kind of film, it has to have like a huge payoff, and I feel like this payoff that it did, I'm not going to go into spoilers, it was kind of like
meh.
It didn't. Did you see it?
No. Anthony? I've been wanting to, but now I'm like...
Oh. It didn't fully pay off, and you will see by the ending. But anyway, don't go in the crypt.
Good to know.
Don't go in the tomb.
Don't go in the tomb. Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, damn. Well, I think all of ours are like... No, okay. This
no,
next
it's
one,
okay to have bad ones. No, this, we're helping you viewers and listeners out.
I like this a lot.
We got to talk about the logistics of how this should work then for next time after the show, if we have time.
Yeah.
But all right. So this movie, it's called We Are the Flesh. This is mine. This is one I saw a week ago, I believe. It's directed by Emiliano Rocha Minter. It's a Mexican film. So that's why I was like looking up like, oh, Mexican horror films, and I was like, something more contemporary. So 2016, I was like, oh, cool. After it's about synopsis hitting you real quick. After wandering a ruined city for years in search of food and shelter, two siblings find their way into one of the last remaining buildings. Inside, they find a man who will make them a dangerous offer to survive the outside world. Mm-hmm. It's not post-apocalyptic at all. I just realized this is so wrong. but that's okay. So quick thoughts. It's not for the faint of heart at all. Like, and I'm not talking about like not gore wise. Like, I'm talking about like disturbing things. Like, I'm talking about incest. I'm talking about a homeless man gang, like an orgy.
Oh.
Really tight close ups of genitalia of both sexes.
Hmm.
It's very disturbing. It's not disturbing in a gory way, but it's very creepy, very ominous. It's very
ominous.
Thank you, Carrie. That's why you're here. No,
I was just going to say, I'm like, well, the only incest ominous. I'm okay with is Flowers in the Attic series. That's about it.
The what?
Oh,
Flowers in the Attic. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Guys, Flowers in the Attic. The books are way better.
Okay, okay. But yeah, continue real quick. Yeah, so that's there's also cannibalism. Really disturbing imagery.
Check. Sounds great.
Yeah. And one of the characters is practically like a homeless demon.
Okay.
Because like the way he carries himself, like he's he's been so alone for so long. He's like legit, but he's in a sense he's lost his mind, but he's also very smart about like the concepts of the universe and everything. Like he talks about how he was alone with his thoughts, and after a while, when you're alone with your thoughts for so long, everything you think, after a while, what you think does not scare you anymore. So you fall into this depravity of like your thoughts get so much like crazier and like just so like just dirt nasty, kind of in a sense, you know, where it's like, but it's okay, because like he operates in a side of outside of societal function.
Yeah.
So it's like it's okay for him to have these kind of thoughts, you know. It was very interesting. And it's all in Spanish, and like he has like crazy monologues that he goes off on.
Was it good?
It was great.
Okay.
But it's also very hard to watch.
Okay.
It's a beautiful film, but it's just like the things you see are just like
intense.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. Like this could shock someone, like this could trigger someone pretty
much.
What's
the name again?
We Are the Flesh.
Yeah.
But in Spanish it's also called Tenemos carne, or which means we have the meat.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm like, that's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very strange.
I think I saw this. I was interested in like it. Its cover on Amazon Prime. Like I didn't watch it, but I think I've come across this film before.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Everything like shot, and it's done really well. It's like a really great film, but it's just like really. Just be careful.
Don't watch it with your mom.
Yeah, no, definitely watch this alone, dude. Yeah, because there's some graphic, like really graphic stuff, like sexual stuff. Yeah, but yeah, it was a good film. I just did not expect that. It kind of also makes me like wonder what's my limit for a film, like how far can I go do Sodom? You know, like have you ever figured that? Or like oh Saulo, 40 Days of Sodom, I believe, where it's like. It's a very graphic along that same line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very weird. But yeah, anyways, moving on. So that was our crypt. So we had two Don't Go Into Tombs. One was like, go in the crypt, but be warned, because it's good, but it's very graphic in nature and stuff. Also, apart from having fun with homeless orgies and stuff, would you like to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have a podcast for you and all for all those who do as well. So it's Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast edition is hosted by AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes for the low, low price of free.
$99. Nice.
Yeah. So Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips to how to better your life in all aspects of it. So it's like, ooh. It's like the tips to having a great life, pretty much.
Sweet.
Right there, for free.
For free. 99. From health, wellness, to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and you'll be notified when every new episode drops, which is, again, every Friday. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. And when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Woo! Horror Movie News Gang, what up? And yeah, so Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. Every Friday, $3.99. Do it. Right on. So, we are going to cover some quick news as quick as I can, but also as clear as I can possibly
Sounds
be.
Good.
So, yeah, so I just wanted to cover this. This came out actually April 3rd. This was announced April 3rd. So I overlooked this last time, but that's okay. Guillermo del Toro signs a new deal with Fox Searchlight, which I am super psyched about. Because that means we're going to get so much more content that it's going to have his name slapped on it. He's either going to be directing, producing, or writing live-action feature films. Yeah, so he's gonna be associated with it.
Sweet.
And Guillermo actually had this to say. For the longest time, I've hoped to find an environment in which I can distribute, nurture, and produce new voices in smart, inventive genre films and channel my own. In Fox Searchlight, I found a real home for live-action production, a partnership based on hard work, understanding of each other, and, above all, faith. After the wonderful experience I had with Fox Searchlight on The Shape of Water, I am honored to have the opportunity to continue the relationship. I am more than grateful to Nancy, Steve, David, and Matthew for their trust in me and for joining me on this adventure.
Nice.
So it sounds like my favorite director has found a permanent home at Fox Searchlight, which I am so psyched about. And believe it or not, there's already one film slated. He's
Sweet.
Producing a film. So not going to be directing or writing, but he's going to be producing one. And the first film to be released under the new deal will be Antlers.
Hmm.
Which is I have a little details on this. So pretty much it's going to be directed by Scott Cooper, who hasn't done a horror film, but he's done Hostiles.
What's it about? Does it have a plot?
One, I'm getting there.
Okay, I know I'm just jumping the gun a little bit because at Sundance there was a short film, and I don't recall if it was called Antlers, but I think so, and it was a boy who had antlers. So that's
I was about to say, I don't think it's about that.
Okay.
I forgot to write the synopsis.
Because then I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe that's like they built upon it or something.
Yeah, I forgot to write down the synopsis for you. But it is directed by Hostiles and he's by Scott Cooper. He's in Hostiles and Black Mass, which was a Johnny Depp film.
Mm-hmm.
And Hostiles was the most recent one, I believe, with Christian Bale, that Western one.
Mm.
Yeah. Screenplay is also being co-written by Nick Anotska, which he also worked on Channel Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Toro is set to produce along with David Goyer, who's been the writer for all the Christopher Nolan Batman films. On top of that, he's done Dark City, which is another film I really liked. And also James J. Miles Dale, who also helped him produce Shape of Water and also Mama, if you guys remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I forgot to include the synopsis for the Antlers film, but you can go look that up as well. It's already out there. That was a quick bit of news that I really wanted to share with everybody because I love Guillermo and I think this is a great opportunity and a great of things to come, pretty much, you know, like it's setting us up
for the horror genre for sure.
Yeah, for the next couple of years we're gonna be like bowling.
It's about time. I'm surprised that he hasn't had this level of success he's been successful.
Broadly.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
It's like he's finally really becoming like super mainstream, which
and also horror is too, which I freaking love because we all love horror and we just haven't had our dues, like we haven't had like too much to munch on, you know, like in the past couple of years. But luckily 2017, you know, kind of was like, are we on a horror renaissance? We're not sure, you know.
But Get Out.
Like, we had Get Out, we had It, we had a lot of other films. We had, like, the Babysitter, we had Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the indie circuit, there's tons, you know.
Yeah,
but, like, mainstream, there's, like, We had Happy Death Day, which I thought was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
But people weren't sure if, like, maybe that was just a fluke. Maybe horror is going to leave for 2018. Mm-hmm. But, no, we're here to stay. Yep, the horror genre is here, and it's made its mark with this the most highly praised and most successful horror film of this year, A Quiet Place.
Whee!
So thus far, you know, of many more to come, by the way, which is two big ones that are still on my radar, which we'll just briefly, I'll touch on this. It's going to be, the next one is going to be, Ghost Stories with Martin Freeman. And that's a huge one. That's supposedly like one of the scariest things to come out of like the UK.
Nice.
And then after after that is Hereditary in June, June 8th, I believe. So Ghost Stories arrives April 27th. So at the end of this month, we have another horror movie that's supposed to be pretty big. I feel like it's not going to do as great. It's going to get mixed reviews, sure.
It's British, but, and we're an American audience. Yeah. Some people are going to love it, and some
I am ready to gobble that up. I have forks and knives. I'm like, har, har, har. But yeah.
What was that?
Har, har, har. This is my, I'm about to devour something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then also, we also have Hereditary that comes out in June that I'm very, I'm looking forward to that one so much. But yeah, so on to our next bit of news. It's not really news. It's more like praising A Quiet Place. So our first one is that Stephen King loves A Quiet Place. He praised it on Twitter on April 6th. He tweeted out, "A Quiet Place is an extraordinary piece of work. Terrific acting, but the main thing is the silence. And how it makes the camera's eye open wide in every way, in a way very few movies do." So, yeah. So if, you know you've made something great when the king himself, the king of horror, is like, yeah, this is cool.
Good stuff, guys. Yes. Yep.
And on to another like praise for it. With a budget of only $17 million, it accumulated $50 million over the weekend, opening weekend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, just a quick bit, not really related, but Shape of Water cost $19 million. This cost $17 million, so I was like, damn, it's even cheaper than Shape of Water. You know? And it's it feels more like broad. But anyways, so what this means that it has a second best opening at the box office for this year behind Black Panther, which is awesome for a horror film. I was like, yes. Yes. So, and that leads me to conclude that the horror renaissance is here. 2017 was not a fluke. We are here. It's permanent. It's happening. And 2018 is a great
horror came back from the dead.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little flat, I know, but it rose above. No.
And also great with like the timing of like our country. It's pretty horrifying. So it's
I forget. Have you guys heard that? Where like depending on like what monster is the most popular, that's reflective of what's going on in society. Like when zombies are really popular. Versus, like, when vampires...
Consumerism, I think.
Have you guys heard about this? I need to look it up, and I'll put it on Twitter.
It sounds really interesting, though.
Yeah.
Speaking in metaphors here, Gary.
Yeah, well, it's one of those... There's actually, like... it is metaphorical, but it is... There was, like, legit research with this. It wasn't just somebody going, hey...
No, horror has always been, like, a reflection of society, and it has something to say about society. Yeah. It's just... It becomes the most, like, accessible message... Or, like, accessible medium to portray that message.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially in such an elegant way, but that also, like, is, like, making fun of it in a sense.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, serious.
It's a way to address it.
Yeah. And, like, Exhibit A, like, just look at Get Out. Like, look at all the social commentary I had to say.
Which weird transition in a way to Quiet Place. Some people are like, and I'm doing funny voice to be sarcastic. They're like, Quiet Place is like the white people's Get Out. And I'm like, stop.
That was one person in our comments on
Box Office.
No, I've
seen other places say that. Yeah, and I'm like, no, stop. They're not.
I would love to hear the argument. I would love to hear the argument.
They're just saying, well, I feel like they're just saying that because that cast is all white. I think it could be argued that the film itself is kind of political in a sense that like these monsters, these creatures are kind of like silencing these people. Like, not just because they're white, but I feel like they're like... it's just like race aside, I feel like people are being silenced, and it's kind of like, I don't know.
I like that better.
By the way, we have now entered.
By a greater force, like race aside, like I don't think this is a racial movie at all, but I think it's like, you know.
I want to put a little button on that real quick. I want to just go briefly through the details, and then we'll get into the thick of it.
Okay. All right,
real quick, director, John Krasinski. This is his first debut for like a huge studio film. He's done two other films, I believe. This is a third one, but it was like wide release. Writer, Brian Woods and Scott Beck. I believe these guys don't get enough credit because they wrote this flipping film, but John's like, eating it up. But these writers are fantastic. Like, the visual narrative of this film, it's all visual narrative because there's rarely anything talking.
Yes.
So what you see, you accumulate the story by what you see. It's fantastic. Synopsis, if you don't know already, a family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. Stars, John Krasinski is the father, also known as Lee Abbott. Emily Blunt is the mother, which is Evelyn. Millicent Simmons is Reagan or Regan Abbott, and Noah Jupe is Marcus Abbott. Okay, so let's get back into what you were saying though about how so one the main thing is at its heart, this film is about parents trying to protect their children from the outside world, you know, and how dangerous, especially now, our world now is very dangerous. So not only like in the physical sense, but also in the virtual sense online.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There's so many. We can countless suicides a year by people being bullied online. Mm-hmm. It might not be as prominent like this year, but like last year or the previous years, it's been huge. So I like what you were going with that. And I actually came to the same conclusion while I was on Box Office Breakdown, that in a sense, like, it's like online world, there's huge fandoms, right, that are very toxic and can be toxic. Mm-hmm. So when you proclaim, or when you like give out your statement of like, I love this, people immediately attack it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're, in a sense, you're being loud on the internet, and these creatures are coming to kill you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you can see it as a metaphor of how's like how the dynamics for, I guess, online interaction works. Mm-hmm.
Or... I'd be curious if the writers actually thought this, or
I don't know.
But it could be one of those, like, maybe that crystals like a little bit of a kernel in the back of their head.
Or just like having an opinion nowadays, and how toxic that you can be attacked or vilified for a certain opinion. You can be vilified for liking Trump, like nowadays, or you can be vilified for not liking Trump from the other side. Yeah. It's always like, you share your opinion, you make it loud enough, people will attack you one way or the other. They'll find you. Just like how these monsters, when they made a sound, these monsters came up and attacked them. But apart from that, there is that whole parental of like, you know, how do we protect our children? Because we're doing spoilers, right? There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally.
Well, I mean, like, one of the things, those spoilers, I'm like, that was in the trailer, kind of.
Okay. No, I want to get into the opening.
I wanted to say real quick, because I'm either on Twitter or in person, you mentioned how it was like dealing with guilt, and I like the more universal aspect of it, of just like how people deal with guilt,
right,
and how they feel responsible if they caused, or, you know, a series of events to happen, which may or may not have been your fault, you know?
Yeah.
And so I like how they show different ways that people deal with it.
And also not dealing with, even not...
And not dealing not with dealing it. With yeah.
Because, like, literally they can't talk. They can't talk about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And not just because she's deaf. She just so happens to be deaf. But, like, you can't, in this world, in this setting, you can't even, like, repent. You feel like you can't repent to your family. Like, what Melissa's character, she couldn't, you know... She couldn't talk to her dad, and that really like put a strain on the relationship.
And that's also interesting, because like civilizations are like built on communication. Like there has to be communication in order for a civilization to thrive. Another part of that is like art. They have to have art. But like in this, it's like when you don't have, or when you have broken communication, your civilization is bound to suffer, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's also a very frustrating thing where like, especially from Millicent's character of Reagan, she can't express her emotions. Well, she's always been through this medium to express her emotion, but I feel like she has the most frustration throughout the whole film. And also because she blames herself for the death of her brother. But on top of that, like it goes into that whole guilt thing, because the father, I'm sure he feels it the heaviest.
Both parents do too.
Overall thoughts, I liked it. Enjoyed it?
I'm sure you guys enjoyed it.
There's really, like, not one bad thing that I can say about the movie other than the poor raccoon's death. But that was so sad. But I really loved Millicent's, is that her name?
Millicent, yeah.
Her, just her performance was stellar. And I think hopefully that this really gives more rise to deaf actors, because there's so many stories you can tell. And this was such a great medium for her, and I feel like her career is definitely going to kick off as well, so that's really cool for her.
Definitely really enjoyed it. Maybe there's a little things that could be like, you know, after, once you know all the information, but overall it's very satisfying, and we talked about this on Box Office, but not exactly scary, but good tension. You are tense and sitting there in your seat going, oh no, don't
you
want to
be
it.
Quiet in the theater. Yes. That's like, it really does make you feel like this emotion that these characters are going through.
Don't take any snacks to the theater. You're not gonna eat them. I started popcorn. And then I was like, I can't. I just stopped. And everyone in my theater was super
silent. I recommend
silent.
Definitely going to like a...
There you go.
Go to like a matinee showing where there's no one really there. That's what I would recommend. Because even if there's a couple people there, just...
Mine was silent, though. everybody stopped making noise. It was crazy. Like, such a weird experience. And I'm like, really? Okay, Steve.
And then, all right, so I also want to talk about the monsters. I dubbed them the listeners.
Sure.
And they're like insectoid.
Yeah. Like a little bit.
Human
liquor kind of Resident Evil.
Oh, very liquor, but like they have like a weird, like hard exoskeleton, you know? So it's very, that's why I was like, it's very insecty.
Yeah.
You know? I found them very similar to Praying Mantis.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Except they didn't have the hooks, they had like actual arms. Yeah. But like they had like on top of arms at the, like where their, I guess their hand portion, they had like three very sharp claw looking things, you know, mm-hmm. that were just like part of them.
Mm hmm.
They had very sharp teeth, yeah. which were terrifying. Yes. I wanted one of them just to like smile. It was kind of like a, think of it like a green Slenderman like smile kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I was,
you know?
Getting some Slenderman vibes, right? from their face too.
Because they also have no eyes, yeah, which is blind. Cool, and they're blind.
And
yeah,
it doesn't seem like they have a sense of smell.
Yeah, that too. And then so when they hear, they do like a more like a
that
more
was so good.
Yeah, when they do a more like they pinpoint on like what they're hearing, their whole head kind of opens up.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the exoskeleton,
a giant
of their
eardrum.
Head. Yeah, yeah, it's like a whole eardrum on the yeah. side of their like head. And I'm like, wow, you should stock up on some dog whistles.
I wonder, like, it's an interesting. I'd want to know the creature like evolution. Like, what would be the natural adaptation to be like that?
Yeah,
because we don't get a lot of you don't really yeah, get any information
like,
on
they
where
aliens?
They come from.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna go with aliens.
You want to know something interesting as well? I was kind of I watched this video. I forget what video it was, but they actually kind of uncovered in research that these creatures actually didn't eat the humans.
I was wondering that too. Like, do
they just
kill them?
They just kill them. So there's
that's what I thought.
There's this theory that they just hate noise because noise hurts them, and as we saw with the ending. So they don't eat people. And we even see, like, there's a dead body. And
yeah, it's just kind of disemboweled.
They just kill them because they just don't like sound. It's harmful to them. So it's how do they eat? How do they survive? It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And to theorize.
And they can swim.
Yes.
Oh, they
I'm
can
like, what?
Swim.
Oh, what?
That scene. The suspense in this film was crazy.
Yes.
Like, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But on all, you don't really need to know where they're from to work.
But it makes you curious.
It does
but
make you curious.
That shows that it's a good, like, interesting movie that we're all like, oh, we want to know more and we want to think about it. We don't just dismiss it and be like, that was fine. Move on.
I would even say it probably has, like, the same shroud of mystery that Cloverfield had, like, when it came out.
Yeah.
Because people are very interested of, like, what's up with these monsters?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that they're, like, government
creations?
Yeah. But I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Because
I don't see those kind of creatures coming from outer space, to be honest with you.
And how do they get there? They're blind. They're blind.
You know, like, how? Like, I don't know. I just feel like...
They're genetic mutations.
And then all the ideas I see on the creature, mm-hmm. they feel like they can be human-based. We're like, oh, yeah, let's put in this exoskeleton. We're not going to give it eyes. Like, what makes it function the best in any environment? Like sometimes your eyes can fail you more than often your ears. So it's like, I think you rely on your ears more than your eyes.
So would they get mad earaches from swimming? It's just giant eardrums, and that's what I think of.
They're just like crushed underground.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my ear.
Also, I want to talk about real quick the opening scene when the kid gets it. Oh, my God. Yeah. How awesome was that?
We talked about this a little bit last night on the Scare Guy show. We're like, okay, so spoiler, but not spoiler, because, guys, it's in the trailer kind of really quickly. They kill a child, so it's like the movie It. They kill a kid that you're like, all right, a horror movie that's not scared to kill a kid.
Comes out swinging. Yeah.
Yeah, goes right away. It's not even like you see much. It's just, you know.
It's still very effective,
yes,
though. When I first saw it, I was like...
But
I looked to my left, to my right, and I was like... What?
Yeah. Even in the trailer, I knew that kid was going to eat it. Like, totally.
I wasn't
but
sure.
But I think it was good. It was good emotional.
Yeah.
It was just, that's how, like...
That's how easy it is to die.
That's
there.
How you start it off.
Absolutely.
And that's where the guilt comes from and everything. I'm just like, damn, that was so good.
So you felt the character's emotions. And, like, even, like, a year later, it was totally, like, you still felt that pain.
Also, real quick, I want to touch about, like, how the narrative works and how it just, like, rolls so easily. Because, like, I try to pinpoint, like, where does everything start picking up? And it was when the old man screams. From there, it's nonstop event after event. And then the way the events, like, happen is so fluid and so natural that it just makes it so good. It's not like, I'm going to go do this. No, it's like, because you did this, this happened, so now you have to do this. like, because you're dragging your dirty laundry, you plucked up a nail, mm-hmm. and then you didn't notice it. God. On the way back, you step on a nail, you make a noise, boom, monster's at your door.
Yeah. But I wanted the same monster to step on the nail, though. Come on, it's like, I wanted it to go down the stairs and be like, boom.
That would have been hilarious. But they're tough.
They would have just, like, bent it back.
I would have wanted to, yes. Just be like, I would have wanted it to bump it, too.
Yeah. But yeah, the way that works is just progresses is just so mastery right mm-hmm. there. And I just loved how that happens. I wrote down some quick highlights for myself. I don't know if you guys agree. The opening scene with the young kid mm-hmm. was awesome. The bathtub scene.
Yep, we talked about that last night.
Emily Blunt knocked it out of the park. That was awesome. The nail, I think, was a great device.
I thought it was cool. I was just like, really?
That was great. Like, how else do you want that to happen?
Well, that's what I mean. That I don't know, like, how you would do exactly. it better.
Like,
but
what?
It's like...
That was a really long nail. I'm surprised she's okay.
I was like, how do you have a problem with this? This is not...
Well, because... Yeah, never mind. It's more the, like, physics of how it's there and how it moved that you kind of go... Yeah, this is just there for
it,
like,
still works. Are you gonna but be I was like, still kind of like, yeah. okay.
Are you gonna bust out Jim and how, like, the corn silo should have sucked down?
No, but that's really interesting. We talked about that. I'm not gonna get into that. In corn silos, there's no oxygen in them, like the whole thing. So as soon as they're in there, they shouldn't be able to breathe. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, whatever. That I can dismiss.
Okay.
I like them, like, with the quicksand of it. That was exciting. Like,
that's dumb. But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Other highlights?
Yes. Any other ones?
They were all just so smart too. Like the kids, how they reacted. Like once they're in the silo, and like they're like, here, grab onto this. Yes. Oh, grab onto this. Oh, we're both on this. Cool. Oh, by the way, we made a lot of noise. Oh, wait, what? Boom! It lands, and then right away, split. No time wasted. They're just like, get under. Like, yes. I was like, brilliant. Like, how else do you do that? Like, wow.
Well, can we talk about the ending before we wrap up?
Yeah, of course.
Did you think it was effective how they just kind of, like, ended it there?
Oh, my God.
Yes, so good.
Like, because there was like, resolution, but at the same time, it left it open.
Yeah.
And it's good horror ending.
But it makes you feel awesome.
You're pumped.
Yeah, exactly.
I was, like, surprised it ended. I was like, I'm kind of okay with this, though. I'm totally fine with it. And I love the smirk that Emily Blunt
has. Yeah, she's just like, let's do this. God. That is, like, the feeling that like made me feel is, like...
And I loved how it just kind of was the power of, like, a deaf adolescent that, mm-hmm. that, you know, someone who's kind of, like, really unsure of themselves and just going through all this pain. And she was the one who was ultimately, like, the key to defeating these creatures.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it was, in a mm-hmm. sense, her weakness became her powerful. Absolutely. Her most, like, what's the opposite of weakness? Her strength.
Yeah.
To defeating these. And also, I thought it was really cool because, like, the father gives her this tool.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, it will work. And she's like, it never works. It never works. But, like, in a sense, it's like, I guess I took it how, like, parents always want to give you the tools to survive.
Mm. Yeah.
But as kids, we're just like, no, it's not going to work. Like, we know better or something.
Yeah.
But in the end, like, it turns out that he gave her the tools to survive. And I thought it was really beautiful.
And he did what Emily wanted to protect the family.
To protect the family, no matter what.
She's going to, like, carry on.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, she's like, who are we if we can't protect them? I think that's, mm-hmm. like, the overall theme of the story, like, you know, which is fantastic. With our remaining minute and 30 seconds, real quick, I want to do a fan shout-out because finally we got some iTunes reviews. Woo! We got 6 of them.
Yay!
This many.
Thank you.
This many.
That's great. Yes. Thank you.
Momentous occasion. So, the one I could that's public and I can see is by Shadows 1192. Thank you, Shadows 1192.
So mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Titled it, "Finally found a new horror podcast." Woo! And he says, I quote, "Finally, a show to fill the hole left in my heart when Collider Nightmares went away. I'm glad I can fill your heart." That's just me. So the cast is great and have good chemistry. Big fan of Ollie from some of his other after shows.
So sweet. So sweet. Oh, I'm blushing.
Definitely looking forward to catching up on the previous few episodes I missed. Bring on the spooky.
Yay!
So thank you, Shadows 1192. Really appreciate the feedback. My God, we love it. We love it. And yeah, with that, we gave our little nice little brief review. We did some news. 20 seconds to spare. I guess we can just sit here in quiet. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's wrap out. Let's start off with Ollie.
Guys, follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
And hopefully don't get us killed again.
Yeah, I was like, run away. my name is Carrie Lane. Follow me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. LANE, and tune in at 6 p.m. over on AfterBuzz. We're talking about Full Metal Alchemist with this guy, and we're going to have another person on our panel, and it's a really good show.
If yep. You like anime. Next four episodes. Yeah. We're up to eight episodes now. I'm the engineer
and he's
on that.
Part of it too.
Yeah, I chime in here and there. Hello, everybody, again, and goodbye. Not again, but goodbye.
Yeah.
My name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at Tony B, Tony underscore. Again, Tony B, Tony underscore. The B is just the letter B. B. I don't know. Either way. Yeah, find me there. Also, just some quick cross promotion. So, the On the Fly Filmmaking this week is actually airing right after our show. They had an interview with the sound editors, the sound designers for The Quiet Place.
Sweet.
Nice. Yep. And that's with Mary Lou, and she's a host, and she interviews them. And that's, definitely check that out. As well as Chauncey and also Lucretia Lyon, Chauncey K. Robinson. Follow Chauncey at Miss Chauncey KR, Lucretia at Lucretia Lyon. And her Mrs. Brightside podcast, along with her Red Room horror show at Red Room Horror. And I'm on Krypton every Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Stephanie Sabra and Candace Cruz. And that's all the plugs I got. Yay. Need more power. So until next week, everybody, stay tuned.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.